We've been using this month, like I said, we've been doing worship themes, and this month our theme has been renewal. What does it mean to be a people of renewal? And we've gone through this syllabus from Soul Matters, and it's a syllabus, I guess you call it a syllabus or a packet of materials for reflection. And the idea was to put it on the web page too and to make it available to everybody so you could participate in the activities rather than worship being just a moment to sit and soak and hopefully pick up something random that connected with you in the moment. It was to look at these materials and begin to think about them. So I encourage you to do that. November, the month, is the theme is grace. And you go, what does grace mean? Or how does that work for Unitarian Universalists or whatever? Well, it works very well, and it's a good thing to reflect on. So this syllabus, I commend it to you. I still commend it to you. The opening picture is a picture of, as I told you, it's an egg broken in half, so it's an eggshell, and then there's a pile of dirt, and then there's a little sprout just sprouting up from the dirt. I've shared with you before that my image for my theology or my understanding of hope and goodness is the image of Mount St. Helens after the eruption, and I was working in environmental work, ecology work, and prescribed fire and all of that. But the whole countryside was devastated. There was nothing. Everything was just ash and sticks. And in the middle of this picture was a close-up of what? One green sprout sprouting through. And the way I understand that is that the force of life, of creation, actually joy, the form of joy, which is that connection with the rightness of life and creation. So renewal is always waiting to come forth, given half a chance. Now, in our minds, when we think of that picture, we right away go, it's just one sprout in the middle of a devastated landscape. You know, that's no big deal. Look at all those trees that are burned down, everything. That's that process of us discounting what it isn't by the drama that we're fed all the time of size and what it needs to be to make a difference. But that sprout, that joy, is available to us every day. It's happened in this room to me just in a few moments if I let them be those noticeable, wonderful moments. That's what renewal is about. It's a lot about notice. I even think of that image of the egg and the dirt and the sprout. You go, oh, better sweep that up. You know, excuse me, better sweep that up, get it off the floor. That's just dirt. It's been sitting there so long, there's a sprout in it. Am I right? If we look at 464, and the reason I'm doing this, I was hoping that people would share some of their stories of renewal, some of things that you had noticed in this month. But if you take, again, take your hymnal and look at 464, 465, 466, we actually used 466, religion, as a reading. But then if you look around that page, you see that Wendell Berry uses the word renewal in his reading. He talks about renewing, enriching the land. And the reading before is Judy Chicago. Everything is about renewal. And it's also about that letting us hear that power of the discounting move. And then both men and women will be gentle. Yeah, right. And then both women and men will be strong. And then no person will be subject to another's will. And then the greed of some will give way to the needs of many. And then she ends, and then we will all live in harmony with each other and the earth. And then everywhere will be called Eden once again, where Eden is that beginning, rightness with life, before we make mistakes and the bread falls into the glasses and the pieces are on the floor. Everywhere will be called Eden once again. And the reason I reference this is renewal is a religious word. It's a religious concept. It's why we come here on Sundays, is to touch in to that rightness as everything goes awry. And 461, nothing worth doing is completed in our lifetime. Therefore, we are renewed by hope. All you have to do is put renewed into each one of those lines. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are renewed by love. So last week, I took awareness, taking awareness by surprise was the title. And then I started out with the book of When Things Fall Apart. And I said that renewal comes with getting the new insight or organizing understanding that pulls things back together again. And I quoted Samuel Taylor Coleridge. He says, when things come back together, the new insight, it's like seeing with new eyes as if on the first morning of creation. So where are we? We're back to, and everything will be Eden once again. But we step back thinking it's all got to be Eden, where in effect it can be just that one moment where we feel right with the world again. Promise is renewed that life is good, if only for a moment, as in Eden. With these questions in this packet, I put them out for you to go through and think about. And I think one of the big questions in our modern world is how to connect with you during other times and how to make these connections. But there's a list of questions for you just to consider. In your avoidance of grief, is it getting in the way of renewal? Out of your hunger for renewal, are you tempted to run away? That's a tough one. Do you even know what's missing? One of the questions was, there are those who say renewing the world is the best path to renewing oneself. We could just stop there and see if you thought that. But are your attempts to renew the world still renewing you? That was the next layer of the question. Renew the world. If you take the cover of this, Sandy just comes up with covers. Our stories of renewal. And there's a picture of a monarch butterfly emerging in sequence from its chrysalis and then pumping energy into its wings. When I see that picture, I am renewed. I feel joy and right living. I feel it when I see the monarchs fly through our town this week, or if you're up on the parkway, seeing them fly on the parkway. I feel it when I see them emerge. I just get excited. Even seeing that picture, I can do that. I smile and have that sense of renewal. Now you go, well, that doesn't change my life. Or that doesn't change the world. That doesn't do this. You're being naive. No, I'm not. I'm in that moment. That's something that renews me. Now, it may not renew you, but it renews me. It renews me when I hear that Mountain Community School, a grade is organizing their entire, I think it's third grade, maybe fourth grade curriculum, around monarch butterflies. So for the whole year, it's every subject goes back to them. And yet, what I know, the facts make it seem very difficult to feel renewed with what's going on. But I'm renewed because I care. I'm renewed because I'm connected, because of the background in my life that there's just a feeling there with the butterflies. Events this week with marriage equality, passing last Friday, and then, oh, I didn't bring the copy of the newspaper over here. Shoot. And then going to the registrar of deeds, and when the first licenses were issued, that marriage licenses that say, rather than male, female, it says, guess what? See again, applicant one, applicant two. Now, in Asheville, they had it on the computers, and they stayed open on Friday. In Hendersonville, they didn't. And I asked them why they didn't have it on the computer, and they said, well, we closed at 5 on Friday here in Hendersonville. We were home, but they were there and very friendly and receptive, but you had to fill it out by hand. And Helen Bishop and Susan Greider were there. There was a couple, Nikki and Sarah, in their 30s, and Jeff and Alan, who were there too. So there were three couples getting their license. And I can tell you that that feeling of hope, excitement, of joy, of fun, of possibility is renewing, possibility of change. I understand that there's somebody here who actually went and got their hair cut in celebration of the marriage amendment passing. Is that true? Is there anybody? Anybody here? Bill, you want to tell us a little bit about that, or tell us why you did that? You don't have to. I just. Well, you need a mic. Yeah, you
years,
do.
2 years ago.
Oh, wait, either come up, come on up, or take the mic.
2 years ago.
Let's see if we can get it. No, it's not up. Try it.
2 years. No. Yeah. 2 years ago, there was an amendment to the Constitution, as we all know. And I helped put on a play over at Blue Ridge Community College called Eight. Many of you were there. It was a play reading about Proposition Eight. And that became so divisive. I said I had to do something, and so I thought, I'm just going to let my hair grow. And when we have equality in North Carolina, I'll cut it off. And here we are.
It got down to that.
That's good. Yeah, see, the small person in me goes, show off. No. That's great. Your stories of renewal? Anybody? Seeing with new eyes as on the morning of the first day of creation. This is from the book Big Questions, Worthy Dreams by Sharon Parks, who was my professor in divinity school and really has formed sort of or been a big part of how I understand imagination and faith and being in the world. She says, seeing with new eyes as on the morning of the first day of creation, that moment of insight, that moment of new way of seeing and understanding. This last week with the marriage equality being, how would you say it? Let's see. The Amendment 1 being overturned is one of those times of seeing with new eyes and then seeing where it goes from there. She says, this moment contributes to the vitalizing power of the imagination. The reflective process required for the work of repatterning keeps meaning-making pliant and spares us from brittle faith. New vision combined with the gift of new energy recomposes and exhilarates the soul and effectively grounds a sense of confidence, assurance, and new strength. Above all, there is a sense of having achieved a more adequate orientation to reality. Imagination, therefore, is the power of realization, the power to make real. Thus, faith, as the activity of realization, is indeed something quite other than wishful thinking or mere assent to irrelevant dogma. Let me read that again. Faith, as the activity of making real, of realization, is indeed something quite other than wishful thinking or mere assent to irrelevant dogma. She goes on to say that if the image that gives form to faith is to serve the composing of truth, no matter how compelling the image and the pattern it constellates may appear, before the act of imagination is complete, it must be tested. The testing of the new reality is the next and final moment in the act of imagination. New energy is made available because the mind and heart have found an easier way to hold all aspects of the conflict, or have found an easier way to hold the big picture of the world. That testing of the new vision and new reality is the job of community, of a community of faith. And here, the new vision for me is I've come to understand religion not as the word we hear all around us all the time, not as a box set of beliefs or assent to propositions or dogma, but as a word of realization, of realization and orientation. And we are that community of orientation and realization. We have certain understandings about how we say the world works. And if we move within those understandings, we don't have to, we can go down different religious paths and not worry about some of the particularities as long as they share the same orientation of how the world works. I think there is a center to Unitarian Universalism as a community of faith, that people have lived their lives with this understanding, orientation, and said, yes, life is like that. The way we do it, I realized one day in an insight, and I'm testing it out, and you can tell me if the test works, was I asked three big questions. I said, what is the nature of being? Or you can say, what is the nature of God? All right? What is the nature of being human? What does it mean to live well? And then how are we to be human together? And the way I framed the first one, it came to me, what is the nature of being? I read a little piece by Gordon McKeeman, a universalist minister, and he said, at the heart of our traditions is a universalist understanding of one human family, one nature, one origin, one destiny. And that comes from the belief originally of a loving God. We move it to an inclusive universe. You can say, is there God or not? But what we know is, if there is God, God is like this, inclusive and loving. And we're all connected in that. So the distinctions, the exclusions we see in our world and our culture are not put there by God. They're created by us, and we can make a difference. Hence, overturn Amendment 1. And then feel that connection, that inclusion, that rightness with being. It gives me chills just to say that. And that's why we feel that way. The second piece, when you ask the question, what does it mean to live well? Again, it was Gordon McKeeman. He said, the Unitarian tradition has an exalted view of human possibility. An exalted view of human possibility with Jesus as an exemplar. That's historically. It's a faith tradition. But then the Unitarians said that Jesus was not God. So that meant other people could be like Jesus, right? He knew what it meant to live well in relationship to a loving God or an inclusive universe. And then he said what it means to live well. And as our understanding of the universe has broadened, we understand there are a lot of people who can be exemplars and that we can follow. But there is an answer to that question, and if you follow those exemplars, you can aspire to be like them. And then we are a radically inclusive, radically incarnational faith. That means we put these actions into reality through our actions, how we live. And so how we practice is important. I keep saying, what we do with our time every day is practice. Don't talk about spiritual practice. Talk about life practice. If I was to talk to you about recent neuroscience, you'd all go, yeah, your brain wires itself in relation to what it does. So then start asking yourself what you're doing and what your brain's wiring itself in relation to. So if you're watching, spending a lot of time watching arguing talking heads on TV or on your computer or reading their materials, you will be more oppositional and an argumentative talking head yourself. That's kind of how it works. And you will feel like you're a piece of that argument. So you just start looking at those things in different areas and begin to say, what is wiring me? What is the practice of my life? We say the practice of your life is, if you want to know what it means to live well, look at the nature of the inclusive universe, be in touch with it, you know, try to experience it in these moments of joy, try to bring it into reality in your life by how you live, and then also making it real in your culture by what you do in your world. And just keep practicing that a little bit at a time, all the time, and you'll experience those moments of renewal. What I did too, one of the insights for me was, you look on your hymnal, and I'll make that real quick, you'll see the chalice, the interlocking circles. So what you have is Unitarian Universalist tradition, the world seen through that, or the universe coming through that perspective. What arises out of that is practice. It's what we do. The chalice, the light, the bowl is our practice. It's what we make real and how we give it form in our life. And we can speak more of that, but as you just look at that all the time, there's a sense of, yep, that's the faith community that says, yes, life is like this. You can organize your life based on these orientations, use this as a compass, and know that you are never lost. So look on that and be renewed. The other thing that I've said is so big that I didn't realize until we created this symbol is the space. It's the space of the community that makes it where we can actually behave in those ways that help make the inclusive nature of the universe real in our lives and in our world. It's sort of that embrace, that inclusive opportunity space of community. I had one more reading, but that's okay. We'll leave it. It's a description of what that community actually looks like and feels like. That's all right. A network of belonging that can face wonder, uncertainty, anxiety, and grief in the bonds of a shared promise of life. Such holding environments honor the inner momentum that arises from conscious conflict and drives toward resolution. But anyway, a network of belonging that can face wonder, uncertainty, anxiety, and grief in the bonds of a shared promise of life. To be that holding environment is sort of our mission, I would say. Is there anybody who'd like to add anything or have any questions to that? So let me encourage you, when we do get these packets out, Grace is going to be up next week with a little bit of grace and be on the website. So please look through it and think about it and think about how you might send something in or include it in your participation in the service. Our stories of renewal.